Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival that you're listening to. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Ash, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. So the things that we'll be discussing today, we're going to be talking again about the gold correction, or was it an assault? We're going to be talking about the World Gold Council, and we're going to be talking, Wendy Wilson will be here for the first 20 minutes of the program today, this Thursday, April 18th, 2013. But first, let's go ahead and just go over some of the numbers. There's a little bit more short covering and bargain hunting today in the gold market. There have been some reports out there that we've had a large investment firm, BlackRock. They did some bargain hunting and bought some gold this week. And a great time to be buying gold, folks. And but gold today was down, was up. Was up $10.90 today at $13.89. Silver down 13 cents at $23.28. Platinum was up $2 today, $14.29. And palladium up 4 at $672. USDX today, dollar down 0.10 at $82.54. Crude oil was up. Not over 90 yet, but at 88.37, and didn't have a chance to follow the markets today, though. However, early morning trading that they did have coming out of the Asian markets, you had gold was down like 15, so it had a nice reversal. It was the first time that it changed direction once it got to our shores. So you had a little bit of a sell-off today. In the paper markets, you had the Dow down 81 points at 14,531. You had the NASDAQ down 38, about almost 1.25%, 31.66. S&P down 10 points at 15,41. The yield on the 10-year was 1.68. And I would have to guess that the euro is probably a little bit stronger day. I don't see their numbers right in front of me. We'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. This program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And you can listen to the programs both live and archived. Our guest today is Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Awesome.
And Alfred.
Al.
Yeah, we forgot to say hello to Al.
Yeah, everybody takes me for granted. You know, I just get so tired of being the last person anyone ever thinks about on this program. It's just, I don't know, but I guess I can live with it. Hello, Wendy. Hello, Melody.
Hey,
hello,
everybody.
Al.
Loves
Al.
Yes. First off, I guess here's an article that touches on something it's 12 easy ways to remove acid buildup from your body, alkalinize your pH, and beat disease. What are we talking about when we talk about the body's pH?
Well, your body's pH is the normal pH, the optimum pH, is between a 6 and a 7. And, you know, you could check it yourself. You could pick up at most of the homeschooling or school supply centers where teachers shop at will have in the science area these little test strips. And you can test your saliva with these test strips. It's pretty accurate, actually. And you can see what your pH is. A lot of people think that, you know, they got to run to the doctor to check it or something. But, no, you can check it yourself at home. And, you know, what we've been hearing is that if you get too acidic, that it gives disease a foothold. The cells become too acidic, and it's much easier for chronic disease and cancer and so forth and so on can take a hold of you and make you sick. So, you know, they don't want you to be too alkaline either, because if you get too much alkalinity, then you run the risk of, you know, getting candida overgrowth and having, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome and stuff like that. So you want to keep it balanced. And you could do that with the right amount of foods. And a lot of people think that, you know, citrus, a lot of fruit is too acidic. But actually, a lot of fruit has an alkaline effect on the system. So don't be worried about eating fruit.
A lot of people, my understanding is that your body will become more acid. And as it does, it demineralizes your bones, for example, perhaps your teeth. This is part of the consequences. This is, you know, part of the consequences of too much acid in your body. Some people believe that one of the most fundamental ways of keeping your body properly mineralized is to eat more vegetables.
Hmm.
Now, is
yeah.
that a rational solution in this society, or do you need supplements or whatever in order to do a better job of mineralizing?
Well, I think if you're eating organic, Gal, you'll do a better job at getting enough minerals through your veggies and things like that. Another thing that people need to worry about as far as, you know, the bone health and preventing osteoporosis and things is to avoid the processed sugar, because sugar will pull calcium out of your bones. And so you want to be careful. Soda is a big example of something you want to avoid. Very acidy, has a lot of sugar in it, so avoid that. And, you know, if you think you're not getting enough calcium, let's say you've been to the doctor and he's convinced you, you know, through testing or whatever that you need help, then, you know, you can beef up your calcium intake with fresh fruits and vegetables. The leafy green vegetables, for instance, oranges have natural calcium. And that's the key, Al. You want to get some natural calcium from plants. And the reason is the body likes to absorb calcium in a particular way. It likes two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium. And you don't get that balance in animal products like milk. So you do find it in your plants, and the uptake minerals that come with calcium is going to help the body absorb and utilize that calcium, put it in your bones, your muscles, your connective tissue, you know, where you need it. So if people need help, there are some, you know, more concentrated forms of calcium-rich plants, you know, horsetail, comfrey, oat straw, lobelia, will all contain a bit more calcium if they need some help there.
You mentioned calcium and magnesium, which is generally, which one are people generally short on? Is it generally calcium? Do we really tend to be short on calcium, or are we more likely to be short on magnesium?
It just depends. Everybody's system is a little bit different, and their diets are different. But if I had to pick one, I'd say we edge out. We're a little bit lower on the calcium rather than the magnesium. And the reason, it's because most people can get some magnesium, you know, in bananas. If they're using the Celtic sea salt, they'll get plenty of it there. So, but most people aren't getting the right amount of calcium, or the right kind. They're using, you know, the milk and the yogurt and things like that. And it's just not, it's not helping.
You don't think that the yogurt is even helping? I understand that the milk may not, but this is the first time I've heard anyone suggests that even yogurt, for example, may not be delivering the calcium that you expect to get out of it.
You'll only absorb 10%, and it's not enough. It's not adequate. And the reason, again, is it doesn't have those required mineral uptakes. See, the, like I said, the body's kind of picky on how it uptakes and absorbs calcium and utilizes it. And your dairy products aren't going to have those ratios in the right amount.
All right. Well, you mentioned soda earlier. I'll tell you a little story for what it's worth. I talked to some people. This goes back into the 1990s. Talked to a man who claims to have known. I didn't talk to the principal in this story. I talked to someone who claims to have known him. Guy worked for the Center for Disease. What is it? CDC, Center for Disease. What does
Control.
The last C stand? Yeah, control. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was allegedly performing experiments where they would put petri dishes with the whatever the substance, agar, I suppose, on the inside. He would increase the concentration of sugar in the agar, put different pathogens on it, and of course, the pathogens would grow more rapidly when they had, as the concentration of sugar increased.
Mm-hmm.
That's not news. That's old news, I guess. But he went on, and he also conducted the experiments in relation to the concentration of carbon dioxide that was available to the Petri dishes. And what he noticed is that as the level of carbon dioxide increased, the pathogens just skyrocketed. There was already sugar there, but then he started moderating the carbon dioxide. And as the carbon dioxide increased, the pathogens just exploded. And when he presented his report to the CDC, according to story, he was invited essentially to take his research and go elsewhere because they didn't want to hear it. Because it certainly challenges all of the soda pop.
Well,
our bodies are designed to expel carbon dioxide, and here we are ingesting carbon dioxide with soda and taking sugar to go along with it.
And see, people,
if the story I just told you is true, it means it's a certain mechanism for accelerating the growth of pathogens in our body.
Right.
So I'm curious.
It sounds right. It sounds right. Actually, and layer in, you know, soda drinkers that have congestive heart failure or pulmonary issues like asthma or smokers, you know. So you're not getting the right amount of oxygen delivery to the cells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a problem. It definitely is. It's not in balance. It's not natural. It's not normal. And soda, good God, you know, it's got to be the worst item on the shelves. And you know what my mom did when I was a kid, Al? She was a health nut from California. So what she did is she took our baby.
Does this mean the nut doesn't fall far from the tree? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, I guess not. I guess not. Well, you know. Yeah, she was reading Adele Davis, and she's in her beer yeast and all that.
Yep.
And God knows what she put in the blender in the morning and made her concoction. I didn't want to know. But anyway, she would take our baby teeth, and she would put them, because she didn't want us drinking soda, right? And she wouldn't have it in the house. But she knew, you know, when we went to birthday parties or out visiting, you know, she knew we'd be attracted to the soda pop. So she took our baby teeth. She put it in a little glass container, had a screw-on lid.
Are you saying baby teeth?
Yeah, you know, when you lose your baby teeth and you put it under the pillow for the tooth fairy.
Oh, well, said, I get it. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, she borrowed them from the tooth fairy, she said. And she put the teeth in there, filled the thing with Coke, and it sat there for 2 weeks. And do you know the tooth dissolved?
Yeah, I know.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It ate up the tooth. And then she took us to visit some friends in New York who owned a kind of like a bar, you know, like an old tavern, you know.
Yep.
And we were speaking to the owner, and he was using Coke to polish the brass on the bar.
Oh, I understand.
He says, it's excellent. Yeah, he says it's excellent for taking tarnish off. And my mother goes, and I just want to ask what it does to the inside of you. You know?
Exactly.
So, you know, so it's got to be the worst product out there, one of the worst products for, and here's the thing. Kids think cola nut or Coke is a vegetable. Did you know, I think it's 6 out of 10 adults think that that's a vegetable. Are we in trouble
now
or
the
what?
The question is, am I one of the six or one of the four? Well, I assume that it's a nut that is not a vegetable per se, but it's drawn from a plant.
I know. But they think it's a veggie, you know. I don't know where people are getting their information, but that's just insane.
I get that. I don't know. What are you going to do? You have to hope for the best sometimes. You have to hope that people can follow what you're talking about, because some of them really are so illiterate about their own health.
Yeah.
That it's difficult to communicate not only information, but the idea behind the information is that you have to be personally responsible for your health. You have to recognize these problems, because it's just like the Center for Disease Control doesn't want a report that indicates high sugar concentrations and high CO2 are conducive to pathogens, because it strikes at the heart of all of the colas and soft drinks that are on the market. They don't want to affect that industry. That means it's up to you to take care of ourselves.
Well, the sugar cartel's pretty powerful, Al. You know, that's why, you know, stevia, which is a natural plant source as a sugar substitute, which doesn't affect blood sugar levels. So diabetics, you know, could use it. For the longest time, you are only allowed to buy that in a health food store under supplements. It wasn't allowed to be on the shelf next to sugar. So, the sugar cartel, pretty powerful, you know. So
all about the money. What do you have?
Oh, yeah, follow that money.
What do you have? What kind of products are you particularly, what are people mostly buying right now, this time of year? Here we are, April and springtime. Are there particular products they're after, or pretty much
typically,
as
usual? We get some seasonal sales for, you know, this allergy stuff. The sinusitis is a big thing now with pollen everywhere. So our Echinacea Deluxe formula is for the sinuses, upper respiratory. So we sell that. The other thing people are picking up is our body food mix for more energy. They become more active outside. You know, they got to do things in the yard and, you know, fix up the house. And so they want more stamina and energy. So they'll pick up the body food mix, which is a powder you throw in your juice for breakfast, and it's all organic plants, and gives you all those vitamins and minerals and amino acids and plant protein. And then the other thing that we're noticing is a lot of prostate kits flying off our shelves lately. So younger and younger men are coming up with prostate problems. So the word's getting around, and they're calling us for that. So, and then we just came out today. We're still working on it on our website. We just came out with a shock and trauma kit of herbs that you could add to your regular first aid kit if you wanted to, and you could utilize these powerful herbs until, you know, help arrives, you know. So you know, everybody may be faced with a trauma situation and they just don't know what to do.
One of the things we're going to have to do is tell folks where they can find your URL and your website, because we are right about out of time.
Sure. They go to the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and that is the official site for Apothecary Herbs. Or they can call toll-free and get a free product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And we're coming out with a new catalog here real soon, but we do have our current ones in stock.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
Okay, Alan. Bye, Melody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. I'm
Alan Fanatis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And Melody will now attempt to explain today's special.
Well, there's no attempt about it, Al. We have Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, $20 gold pieces, along with the 40% silver, $70 face value, which equals around 20 ounces of silver in there, and it includes all your shipping costs for $2,450. So 40% silver is probably the least expensive manner in purchasing silver today. There's immediate delivery on that 40% silver. So if you're looking for a good buy in silver, 40% silver, the Kennedy half dollars is a great tool to accomplish that. The Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. And these prices are basically yesterday's prices. So with the increase in gold today, it wasn't adjusted. So the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens, it's a great little package. You get your pre-1933 coin, non-confiscatable, exemption from 1099s. Great coins held very well during the past week with all the pressure on the price of gold. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Carla is standing by the phones. You can give her a call. I'll be available after the program today. And late night listeners, leave a message on our recorder, and we'll make sure that we get you locked in, and we'll extend the same price all through tomorrow also.
All right, Melody, what else are we going to talk about today?
Well, I guess you can call this some good news. The Senate shut down the background checks for guns, and certainly upset a lot of the major anti-gunners on the Hill, along with Obama, basically calling the NRA and liars, saying that they lied. And you have Pelosi, and I couldn't even bear to read the article, but it said that Biden actually had tears in his eyes.
Aww.
It's like, aww.
I wonder, do you think they had tears in their eyes when they shipped our jobs over to China and India and third world countries? Did anybody weep? Back then?
They were probably weeping due to the amount of money that they made. But certainly not for
joy.
The weeping with joy.
Weeping with joy.
Something
exactly.
Totally different. So
I saw President Obama talk about this, and he just obviously felt hurt by the whole idea that they couldn't get something done reasonably. But there is something called the Second Amendment, which says in part, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I haven't looked up the definition of infringed, but it has, part of that word includes fringe. And what it suggests to me is that if it can't be infringed, it means you can't even touch the fringe of the law, if you follow my drift. This isn't something where we're only going to protect the heart of the law. It's something where we should be protecting even the fringe of the law. We shouldn't have a government that's buying so much ammunition in this country that it's hard for people in private life to purchase ammunition. We shouldn't have a government that's constantly trying to whittle away at our right to keep and bear arms, because in doing so, they are at minimum intruding upon the fringe of that law. Now, I'm not going to say what I just... This reference to fringe is not necessarily law, all right? Just a personal opinion, but it might have something to do with the law. In any case, I was also impressed by President Obama, and Biden is weeping. President Obama is distraught, all right? And he was complaining that the NRA and opponents in Congress to gun control were lying. They're using lies in order to stop this gun control act from being passed. And I don't know if that's true or false. I would be I'd be surprised if anybody in Washington retains the ability to discern between truth and lies for more than maybe 6 months after they're elected, if they ever had that ability in the first place. But it's just ironic, hypocritical to me to see President Obama complaining about liars. Oh my gosh. You know, we've got people aren't telling the truth. What is the real unemployment rate in this country, Mr. Obama? What is the real inflation rate in this country, Mr. Obama? What is the true inflation rate in this country, Mr. Obama? And when you tell us that these numbers are much smaller than they almost certainly are in reality, aren't you lying? And what's your complaint about liars? Huh? I mean, this just falls for me. This falls on deaf ears. I'm not in favor of anyone lying. But it really just interests me, fascinates me, the evidence of interesting times to see someone. I mean, he told his former minister in Chicago at one point, he told him, the problem with you is you just don't know how to lie. Meaning Obama knows. He didn't have any objection to lies. He uses them on a regular basis. He just has an objection when they are used successfully by his adversaries. And all I say is, you know, there's a certain justice in that. So, in any case, good news.
Good news.
The threat of additional gun control is diminished, and we shouldn't see it back until we see another one of these debacles. Then they'll try it, and we'll watch and see. But they probably took a good beating on this one, and they probably realize it's going to take something incredible to summon up enough public support to make gun control go through again.
I don't think that it's over, and I think, folks, you know, hopefully you folks picked up your phone, you called, you voiced your concern, and for whatever reason, it sort of went our way this time. So why don't you pick up the phone and say, keep it going and push them to stay on that same path so they don't get bought out here in the near future. So, and there's another thing that you can be talking about. We have this immigration bill that we, it's 844-page Senate immigration bill, creating a pathway to citizenship for illegal aliens. It was introduced overnight Wednesday morning. And, of course, prior to its one and only scheduled hearing Friday morning. That's tomorrow morning. So the funny thing about this thing is if you started reading this bill nonstop, it would take nearly 3 days to read. So,
and it's not just 3 days to read. How long does it take to comprehend?
Comprehend.
Right? It's one thing to I mean, you can't do law. The Evelyn Woods School of Speed Reading doesn't work with law. When you're reading a legal document, you've got to sit there and consider the implications of virtually every word. It's as if you're running a virus protection program. You check this word, then you check this word, then you check this word. You compare them back to the words, to the dangers that you understand may exist in the law, and you try to identify the problems. You can't read that thing in even 3 days and understand it. Right? No one really can, and yet they're going to vote on it, which is something that irritates me. It's more evidence that Congress does not legislate. What they do is broker laws. Someone brings a law that's already been written and prepared, and they bring it up there, and they essentially say, here, get this passed, and here's a bunch of money for your trouble. And your Congress is going along with that. They are taking laws. They don't even read these things. And yet they vote for them against them. Why? Because somebody's paying them to do so. I don't necessarily mean that every congressman is being paid, but the ones at the top are, and they keep the lower congressman in line, and they vote whichever way they're told to vote. Because, and it has to be that way because they don't read the laws. If they don't read the laws, how do they know how to vote? Shall they vote yes or shall they vote no? And the answer is, they know how because someone tells them how. Someone who is significant in their party or in the Congress, wherever, and they say, vote yes on this one. They say, yes, boss, we'll do that. All right? But my point is, whoever it is that tells them how to vote, yay or nay, for a particular law that they haven't even read, the one who tells them how to vote, that's who they truly represent in Congress. They're not representing you folks. They're not representing the constituents. They're not representing the people who actually voted for them. You know, the reason we elect congressmen, senators, presidents is because we believe that the particular man or woman has a system of values that's closest to our own. And the presumption then is if I vote for Congressman Smith, I've voted for Mr. Smith because I believe his values are most like mine. And therefore, when a bill comes up and is proposed, and he sits there and he reads that bill and he says, and he goes through the bill, he's going to support or deny that bill pretty much the same way as I would, because his system of values is just about like mine. Of the candidates that were there, his were closest to mine. He thinks the way I think. But it doesn't make any difference how he thinks if he doesn't read the law. I'm sending Mr. Smith up there to Washington. Mr. Smith goes to Washington, but he doesn't bother to read the legislation. Insofar as it's true, we could just as easily have sent up a child molester. We could send up a serial killer. We could send up a chimpanzee. If the man doesn't read the laws he votes for or he votes against, if he's not reading, his system of values are irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Send anybody up there. We can send any idiot up there. Why not send a monkey? Save a little money. Somebody will tell the monkey, just put some bananas on the bills that he's supposed to vote for, and the monkey will vote for it. We can work it out where the monkey will vote the right way. This is a betrayal of the American people because in the end, a law is something like a chain around each of our necks. And every time Congress votes to pass another law, we have to wear that chain. And yet our representatives and our senators and even the president, they don't have enough respect for us to even read the law to see if there are any burrs on the chain that's going to be around your neck and mine and may gouge into your neck and mine. Congress, they don't care. Just chain them up. We don't care. Just pass it and get the money. Somebody give me some money. I'm a congressman. Give me some money. It's the sort of thing. It's just wrong. You know, and it can't be tolerated, and it continues. It's continuing for now, but I believe there has to be a day where Congress is actually going to have to read the legislation that votes for and votes against. You know, one of the things that's the essential point to legislation, how do you determine what a law actually says? And sometimes there are court cases where people look at a particular law and it has a particular phrase or sentence in it or paragraph or whatever, and one person, one group will say, that means A. And somebody else says, no, it doesn't. Obviously, it means B. And either one of them might be correct. How do you determine which interpretation of the law or a section of the law, how do you determine which one is the law? What is the real meaning of the law? And when the Supreme Court is faced with this decision, what they do is they collect the record of the hearings that were held on the law, right? And what did people say when they were hashing this out, if they were legislating? And they said, well, I think it means this. And somebody says, no, it's got to be that. And they look back into the record, and on that basis, they determine the congressional intent. That's what the law is. The law is an expression of the intent of Congress, even if the law is poorly written and not obvious. What the real meaning is, even no matter what it says, the meaning is congressional intent. That is the essence of the law. Now, what is congressional intent if these guys don't even bother to read the law? They're passing things like the Patriot Act and Obamacare, and no one has read the damn law. What is congressional intent when no one reads the law? Is there a law? When Congress doesn't intend, where they haven't read it, can it even be a law? There can't be any intent. The only intent that's obvious is that they intended to get some money. They intended to get some political campaign contributions. They intend to work on their own reelection. That's the intent of most of these laws, round up enough money from contributors and major corporations and so on, where they can have enough money to win reelection. And then they can betray the American people by gathering more money for the next election. And then more money again. And at no point do they necessarily have to represent the best interests of the American people. All they have to do is take care of themselves. The whole thing becomes a hustle, a racket. It's shameful. It's scandalous. It's the sort of thing that you look at it, you understand it, and it makes you angry. You know you're being betrayed by people whose stock and trade is to inspire your trust. They run for Congress, they run for the Senate, they run for the White House, they inspire your trust, and in the end, they betray it every day. Obamacare. Do you think President Obama has even read that bill? Did he advocate it? He signed it. How can he sign it when he hasn't even read it? How can the Congress vote for bills that they haven't even read? The whole thing is, it's shameful. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we got a comment in from Murray. He says there's those that say the Constitution is not even valid. Maybe we should ship them off to North Korea. Maybe they'd be happier there.
I think they're probably thinking the same thing about you, me, and Murray. People in government think maybe we should ship them off to North Korea and see if they like it better. I agree we have a problem here, and the problem is not diminishing, it's getting worse. You know, part of the reason we have the problem with legislation that they don't read is because every schemer in the cat house on the Potomac has got a new brilliant idea about something that they can do for law. And part of the reason for that is that the federal government is now intruding into virtually every aspect of our domestic lives. 100 years ago, the federal government pretty much minded its own business. What we had to contend with here, I'm living in Oregon right now, we would have to contend with legislation by the state of Oregon. That would be our primary concern. Federal issues would very seldom come up. And Congress didn't have to meet year-round and try to, you know, jam in as many bills as humanly possible. But what we've done over the last century, and really since the New Deal, is we have come to nationalize this country, where the federal government is deciding everything up to how many squares of toilet paper you can use. Now, I'm obviously exaggerating, but they are intruding into everything, and as they do, the number of bills that are proposed for Congress and the numbers that are enacted, they become enormous. There was a time when Congress only had to meet for a couple months at most a year. Now they have to probably work 60, 80 hours a week to keep up with the overflow, and the overflow is a consequence of an unlimited national government. They no longer recognize the limits that were imposed by the Constitution. They think they can legislate all things. It's part of the reason, for example, Supreme Court. You take a case to the Supreme Court, and you've probably got a chance, maybe 1 in 5, maybe 1 in 6. I don't know what the actual ratio is. But 1 in 6 is perhaps correct. one chance in six that the Supreme Court will even hear your case. They routinely dismiss cases that they just don't want to hear in large measure because they've got thousands of cases coming their way. They can't hear them all. Why? Because our federal government has grown so large in writing laws and like Obamacare and the Patriot Act that are so large, so complex. Nobody knows what they mean. So we have to go to court to figure out what they mean. And by the time you get to the Supreme Court, they will hear maybe one case in six that comes up there. They dismiss five out of six just because, and they don't explain why, but the truth of the matter is they are overwhelmed. It is a consequence of federal government that no longer recognizes limits. They think they can legislate on everything. If they do, they inevitably have litigation on everything, and it all goes to the federal courts. So all of this is consequence of the American people not really taking care of business. We've allowed our government to grow too large, and as it has grown too large, it becomes increasingly unwieldy. What do we do with this? Government is so big, nobody knows what's going on. If it were smaller, if it were more limited, it would make a whole lot more sense. And then if you had a problem, you dealt with your state legislature, not your federal legislature. Make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what, when Ron Paul was running, that's what he always kept saying. We got to give it back to the states. Give it back to the states. Let the states do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's designed. But you know, you're talking about the Obamacare and about how, you know, it was one of those legislation nightmares that wasn't read and it was passed. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi said, we'll sign it and then figure out what it means later. And so you have Senator Max Baucus out of Montana. He's chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. And supposedly he was involved in the writing of the law. And he came out and said that the Obamacare is heading for a train wreck.
Exactly. He delivered a tough love assessment. I'm reading from an article in the Washington Times. It says Senator Baucus of Montana, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, delivered a tough love assessment of efforts to implement the Affordable Care Act, we commonly call it Obamacare, during budget hearings that featured Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. From the outset, the senator's terse and pointed questions made it clear he didn't think her agency had done enough to implement key pillars of the law by 2014. He said he's very concerned by the lack of information among small business and accountants who are throwing their hands up over the law. I just see a huge wreck coming down, Mr. Baucus said on Wednesday. You and I have discussed this many times, and I don't see any results yet. And his comments turned heads because Republicans are typically the one who criticize Obamacare, but in this case, Baucus, a Democrat, criticized. The lady who, Mrs. Sebelius, she told Baucus that she was incredibly disappointed that a request for more outreach-related resources and a short-term funding plan for 2013 were denied. Now, here's the senator who's saying, you're not doing a good enough job. She's saying, you're not giving me enough money. And I'm saying, the problem you've got is you have a bill so large that no one knows what it means. It's several hundred pages. This is law. This is grounds for litigation. It's not written like, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. This is complex. You need a reading skill level of probably about a 22nd grade in order to read these laws and understand what they mean. And very few people have that. And those that do don't have time to read the law. You pass a law this big, of course there's going to be a train wreck. Why? Because nobody knows what it means. You put down, thou shalt not kill. Okay, I get it. All right, I get it. You give me 400 pages of legalese, you might as well give me 400 pages of Greek. Nobody can understand this. You won't live long enough. You will not live long enough to fully understand Obamacare, and neither will anyone else. So, of course, yeah, there's going to wait to see. Wait to see how it works out. If this thing's going to be train wreck, yeah, I think so.
I think the only thing people understand is they have to cut their employees' hours to 29.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's probably the only thing. Page one of Obamacare. Cut all of your employees' hours to no more than 29 hours per week. Bang. Then you're exempt.
Yeah.
See? Simple. You don't have to read all the rest of that stuff. Just how many hours? How many hours do I have to cut them down to?
Well, we're here to create jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
So you look at it and you wonder.
If it wasn't so sad and pathetic.
I know it is sad and pathetic, but part of the defense against that is sometimes you just have to laugh. You just have to look at it. You have to see. You have to be able to ridicule these things. You have to be able to laugh at them. If you took all of this stuff seriously, I'm not sure how many of us could survive.
We must go back to one of those old segments that the radio and TV used to have, the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah.
Come up with a lot of the, and here's a believe it or not, the mortgage relief checks go out.
Yep.
You bounce.
Yeah.
By Bank of America.
Yeah.
I wonder if they charge themselves, you know, $40 for each check that bounced.
That's interesting. There's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that, but that's interesting. This is from Deal Book, which is part of the New York Times. And the headline is Mortgage Relief Checks Go Out Only to Bounce. These checks are being issued ultimately by the Bank of America. And what they are is part of a $3.6 billion settlement with the nation's largest banks that occurred a couple of years ago now, and they are in the process of those people who are homeowners. They get a chunk of that $3.6 billion settlement based on lenders who were accused of wrongful evictions and other abuses. And one of the examples here is Ronnie Edward, whose home was sold in a foreclosure auction, waited 3 years for his $3,000 check. When it arrived on Tuesday, he raced to his local bank in Tennessee only to learn that the funds, quote, were not available, unquote. Mr. Edward, 38 years, was taken back. Is this for real, he asked. You know, we talk about this program about crazy things that we're seeing. Here's a guy. He's seeing crazy stuff. He has just got his $3,000 check from Bank of America as part of the settlement that was negotiated, $3.6 billion or whatever for crimes that had been committed by Bank of America. And guess what? His check bounces. A check from Bank of America bounces. I mean, this is like getting a check from the Fed. This is almost. It's not the same thing. It's like getting a check from
the Fed. It's close, considering Bank of America is pretty much the federal government.
Well, I understand that, but I'm talking about the Federal Reserve now. It's like getting a check. Ben Bernanke comes out. He stops over at my place, says, Al, here's a check. And when I go to cash the check, I find out that Mr. Bernanke, writing a check on the Federal Reserve, the check bounces. This is cause for concern. This is cause for hilarity. I am not sure how far it goes. The article says it's unclear how many of the 1.4 million homeowners who were mailed the first round of payments covered under the foreclosure settlement have had problems with the checks. But housing advocates from California to New York and even regulators say that in recent days, frustrated homeowners have bombarded them with complaints and questions. So, great. Bank of America says, fine, we will pay a $3.6 billion fine, most of which probably go to the attorneys rather than the people. But nevertheless, we're going to pay that money out. And then, ta-da, they bounce the checks. I don't know, Melody.
Only in America.
I don't even know if that's true.
That's true.
It may be that it's going on in Cyprus, for example. There's no telling what's happening in France, Italy, Spain, how many checks are bouncing over there. And what it points to is the possibility that we are seeing a systemic problem. Right? It may be that this systemic problem, and by systemic, I'm talking about the system of fiat currency, the idea that we can just spin these dollars out of thin air and they're just paper and write a check and digital dollars and the rest of it, they are somehow running out. How could a system that depends on fiat currency run out of currency? You can spin it out of thin air. How can they be going broke? How can they not make good on their checks? It indicates that something is intruding, some form of reality is intruding, and as it does, the system is somehow unable to function. And these are small things. This article about Bank of America, this isn't a big thing. This is an amusing thing. All right? But it's a leaf in the breeze, and it's another one that tells us, or at least tells me, that my little mantra for the last 4 or 5 years, what can't be paid won't be paid. Here we see even Bank America apparently can't pay some of its bills right now, some of its debts. Now, I don't doubt that the checks will be made good in the foreseeable future, will be made sometime in the foreseeable future, but just the same, you know, it's just so surprising. It's so hilarious for now. But if it proceeds, it's going to be shocking. Not just hilarious, it will be shocking.
Well, you know, you'd also, we missed a caller, and I doubt if we'll have time to get to Jim from West Virginia. Maybe we can do so tomorrow. But it's just another sign of how ill these companies are run. They are so big. Too big to fail, are they really? But yet they don't know what their left hand is doing from the right hand. And when you have that type of the inability to communicate like that, it only brings it closer to some sort of a major problem.
You know, if I write a check and there's not enough money in the bank to cover my check, you can write it off to me being a little bit on the dumb side.
That's right. All right? These are banks.
We're talking about banks with computers, banks. Yep. If they don't know how much is in their bank balance and their checking account, who does? You know, this, you can't write this off to just mere incompetence. There's something else happening, and it's just bizarre. What else is happening is we're about out of time, Melody. So anything you'd like to add in the 15 seconds?
They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 for our great special today, $2,450. Give us a call, and we'd be more than happy. Immediate shipping on everything that we do sell, and we'd be more than happy to help you and answer your questions.
Okay, thanks for listening, folks. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Frank, the producer, and Melody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.